Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Thursday, February 18th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book in the chapter More About Alcoholism. We're on page 38, reading paragraph 1, which begins with On Through the Years. We're reading and commenting on just one paragraph today. Today's readers are Phyllis D. for the 12 Steps, Leslie M. for the 12 Traditions, Jody E. and Eileen M. Mary B. will greet newcomers after our recording stops, and Robin P. will close us out with some important announcements. Okay, the reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Wednesday, February 17th is 16241. That's 16,241. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for February 18th is 16427. That's 16,427. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating in all of its forms, can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Phyllis D. to please read the 12 steps.
Thank you, Elaine. My name is Phyllis D. from Central Illinois. These are the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service. I pass.
Thank you for doing service, Phyllis D. And I will now ask Leslie M. to please read the 12 traditions.
Thanks, Elaine B. I am Leslie M., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for allowing me to serve.
Thank you very much, Leslie M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic, and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism and page 38, paragraph 1. And I will now ask Jody E. to please get us started.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Jody E., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic from California. On through the years, this conduct continues, accompanied by his continual promises to be careful or to keep off the streets altogether. Finally, he can no longer work. His wife gets a divorce, and he's held up to ridicule. He tries every known means to get the jaywalking idea out of his head. He shuts himself up in an asylum, hoping to mend his ways. But the day he comes out, he races in front of a fire engine, which breaks his back. Such a man would be crazy, wouldn't he? Well, we are crazy, aren't we, when it comes to food? Food is our jaywalking. For me, coffee and pastries and bread and things like that are my fire engine. And when I am in the food, I am powerless over that food, it seems to me. I myself, of myself alone, am powerless. I cannot resist them on my own. So my higher power does me a great favor and brings me to Overeaters Anonymous and puts a kit of spiritual tools in front of me. And it's my job to pick up that spiritual toolkit and use it. And what is that spiritual toolkit? It's the 12 steps. It's the fellowship of OA. It's a group of compulsive overeaters who understand me, who have a similar problem with whom I can interact, I can connect by phone, in person, and I can ask someone to take me through these 12 steps as they have done. And that process gives me a psychic change, a spiritual awakening that enables me to resist this crazy behavior of compulsive overeating. This illustration of the jaywalker is rather odd and perhaps a little ridiculous, but I am the same when it comes to food. And I'm just grateful to my higher power for bringing me here, not only to Overeaters Anonymous, but to A Vision for You, where I found a fellowship of people who had recovered and who were willing to share their experience, strength, and hope with me. And that is why I keep coming back, because I need to do the same. I need to pay it forward. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you very much, Jody E., for sharing your experience, strength, and hope with us. And though we value everyone's experience, strength, and hope, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on this line, please, on this paragraph, please press star one to unmute and give me your name.
Larry G.
Stacy
I.
Camera C.
I heard Stacy and Summer,
Bruce E.
And then Bruce E. Okay, let me tell you who I've got.
B.M.
If you don't hear your name, you know that I didn't get you. I heard Larry G., Stacy A., Summer, don't have your last initial, and then Bruce E. Anybody else?
Marguerite G.
Marguerite G.
Tamara C.
And one more. Tamara C. Okay, great. That's a great lineup. Okay, Larry G., you'll be followed by Stacy A. Please share with us.
Good morning, fellows. I was unable to get on the call yesterday because of technical problems, so I didn't get my medicine yesterday. I'm so glad to be here today. I am the jaywalker. I was a jaywalker. I can't tell you how many times I had a little whiskey in my milk on a full stomach, or thought it was a good idea to go to a buffet and just eat the healthy foods and end up getting drunk, or having a vegan muffin because it has pinto flour in it and fruit juice, and that would be okay, which would lead to the real stuff. I did that over and over again. What else is really sick about my behavior is I was part of OA for 26 years. If I went to an average of one meeting a day over that period of time, I witnessed 13,000 other jaywalkers who talked about doing the very same thing I did. If I had a dollar for every time that I went to a buffet or had a muffin on a full stomach, I could own probably a small island today. So this is a story about an unsurrendered soul in Alcoholics Anonymous, and because I was unsurrendered, and I used OA, I went to the steps, I counted up 8 times over the 26 years with about 8 different sponsors. I had sponsors, I had food sponsors, it was all about me. I rarely ever called a newcomer and stopped sponsoring because I could not transmit something I did not have. So what's changed? What's changed is I've been on in this program, this fellowship, since May, and I am surrendered today. I'm surrendered to the fact that I can no longer again eat muffins or go into buffets safely. And thank God for that. I was brought to my knees in May. I did not want to live. The jaywalker had been hit for the last time by a fire engine, and I was just done. So surrender to me is the first step, but it has a short shelf life. If I don't get busy working with a vision sponsor, going through the steps, making outreach calls, making calls to new people and practicing these principles, all my fears daily, I will eat again. I had a real scare about a week ago. The desire to compulsively came back so strongly, it scared me, but I had the sense to call somebody's program and do a 10-step. The reason, I believe, is because I've been in a meeting every day, Monday through Friday, since May. I wish you all well today. Have the best recovery day ever. I'm out.
Thank you very much, Larry. All right. Stacey A., you're up next, and you're followed by Summer. Please go ahead, Stacey.
Hi. I joined about a Vision for You about a few weeks ago, and I was that jaywalker until I entered a Vision. And, man, without the fellowship, without the meetings, without my sponsor, I would have not put anything down, and I had hit that rock bottom. And I'm just forever grateful for the fellowship, the meetings, and the steps. And I was at my wit's end. I was so desperate for anything. Man, I lost control. I was desperate for any answers. I had a little bit of a higher power, but now, once I started the steps, the big book, I'm starting to find my way. I do a little bit each day. I started putting down, you know, the foods that I can't, the sugar, the flour, the wheat, the cravings are going away. I'm becoming more sane every day, learning control, because I am powerless. And without my higher power and without this fellowship, I would be so lost, and I'm forever grateful. I was that lost teacher, but I am finding my way back, and I just want to say thank you. Just thank you so much. And with that, I'll pass.
Beautiful. Welcome, Stacey A. Keep on coming. Keep on doing the work. The best is yet to come. Okay, so Summer, you're up next, followed by Brucey. Can you please give us the first initial of your last name, Summer, and where you're calling from? Star one to unmute. Do 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 do. Maybe I heard a Summer and there wasn't one at all. Okay, I'm going to assume that that's the case. And Brucey, please go ahead, and you'll be followed by Margaret C.
Okay, thank you. Thanks to everybody that's serving. This is Bruce E. I'm a recovered food addict. I'm in Fort Myers, Florida area. Really happy to be here today. Really appreciate being able to share. And let's see. I think we had didn't we have the man of 30 first, and then Jim, and now the Jaywalker, and then we're going to have Fred next. So this guy's right in the middle here, and I read this when I came in the program 30 years ago, and I thought, oh, that is ridiculous. But after I became a student of the Big Book in the last 4 years, I identify with this 100%. I am the Jaywalker. And I think it says at the beginning of this story here on this Jaywalker that he got a certain thrill out of, stepping in front of automobiles and then getting out of the way, you know, close to an accident, but getting away with it. So he got away with it in the beginning. It gave him a thrill. I got away with it in the beginning. It gave me a thrill. Now this guy is really going through the ringer. It's progressively getting worse very quickly, because now he's going to get hit by a bus or something, I think it is, and a fire engine, and now he's going to break his back. So he gets a divorce even, you know, so he's losing everything. Well, I didn't have to get a divorce over this disease. I got a divorce over another disease, but not over this one. But, you know, my previous one, alcohol, was just liquid sugar is all it was. This one's solid sugar. I'm not really not a alcoholic. I'm food addict. And he tries every known means to get the jaywalking idea out of his head. So as long as I'm using the alcoholic foods, which fortunately I've put down, but as long as I'm using those, it's going to trigger the allergy. The allergy is physical. Then that brings on the phenomenon of craving. And then I can't get it out of my head. But in this recovered state that I'm in now, it's out of my head for the first time in all these years in this program. So how did that happen to me? It was a miracle. And it has to be from a power greater than myself, because I tried this thing, man, I prayed about this, I tried, did this, did that, and could never get it. Finally got a sponsor in this program. We started working through the big book together. And
gentle reminder.
The obsession, thank you, the obsession and the compulsion lifted. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brucey. Those magic words. The obsession and compulsive listed. Awesome. Okay, I'm going to just double check again. Was there a Summer that wanted to, or someone who sounded like Summer, that wanted to share? If so, please press star one to unmute. And so we're going to go to Margaret C. And Margaret, you'll be followed by Camera C. Please go ahead, Margaret. Star one to unmute.
Hi, this is Marguerite G. from Michigan. Thank you. So with the jaywalker, we see someone who just has totally lost the ability to differentiate the true from the false. So often for us, you know, before we find recovery, we get agitated, we get uncomfortable, right? And we need something that's going to make us feel better. And so often we turn to food as our solution. Before we even take a compulsive bite, we have these thoughts going on. We're craving the food. Before there's any sort of physical experience of craving, we have that mental craving because we're uncomfortable in life and we're having trouble accepting life on life's terms. And with the jaywalker, it's just an extreme example for us of someone who has to do something really, really crazy to get that sense of ease and comfort and that sense of control back, right? But, you know, even as we think that, oh, okay, now I'm in control of life, now I can have peace because I have the food, what's really happening is we're losing control. And that's where that inability to differentiate the true from the false comes in. So what's great about program is that once we are working the steps, once we're in touch with the higher power, once we're willing to surrender and we're willing to hand over those uncomfortable feelings, those difficulties that we have in life, once we hand them over to our higher power, then we can live in the truth. We can live in reality, which is that these things that are going on around us are temporary and that we're not in control of them. And that doing something compulsive with food is not going to make us feel better. It doesn't have to be our solution anymore. So, you know, all of us have found ourselves in the street and wondered, how did I get here? Why am I doing this again? But ultimately, those experiences are such a gift for us because, then we can pass on our experience to newcomers, to people who have just been in the street. We can say, yes, I've been there, I'm with you, and come this way. We don't have to do that anymore. So, with that, I will pass. Thanks so much for your service.
Thank you very much, Marguerite G. And Camera C, you're up next, you're up next, and then we will have another lineup. And we are in More About Alcoholics, page 38, paragraph 1. Please go ahead, Tamara.
Yeah, good morning, and thank you for your service, and thank you everyone who has shared. I'm really hearing just what I need to hear this morning. I love it. I was looking at this paragraph. He made promises to be careful or to keep off the streets altogether. So there were times in my disease where I promised myself I would be careful. I would eat only a certain amount or only some kinds of foods. And that didn't work out. And so then there were times when I would promise to keep off the streets altogether. Okay, I can never eat these foods. So I'm going to be abstinent from these foods for the rest of my life. And on my own power, I couldn't keep that promise to myself either. And my disease really did cause me problems. I didn't lose a job or a marriage, but I stopped enjoying my job so much and all my relationships so much. My disease definitely robbed me of the beautiful life that I was meant to have. I'm recovered and I'm grateful, and I'm not doing these crazy things with food. Although I could easily go back there if I don't continue to grow along spiritual lines. So today my craziness is that I can go back to trying to control my day, like I was just hearing about. I'll promise that I can manage my thinking. I may indulge in a little cynicism, a little self-pity, just a little judging and controlling. Or maybe perhaps I'm going to just try to stay off those streets altogether. I will think my way to a better way of thinking. My broken mind will heal itself. And that's crazy. That's crazy. Just like it's crazy to run in front of a fire engine. And it's crazy for me to think that my broken mind can heal itself. And it certainly fails me. And suddenly I find myself with my broken back, which is that here I am again, driven by all this fear and resentment and selfishness. And so my truth is that when I give up trying to control my food and give up trying to control my thinking, I can just let go and let my higher power do for me what I can't do for myself. My higher power loves me and is powerful enough to heal me and bring restoration and help me grow. I can live in the steps in this new design for living, and it keeps helping me go back and face and be rid of the things in me that block me from this power that's not broken, that can keep me off the streets of insane thinking. And so more and more as I'm in this recovery, I'm enjoying my job and I'm enjoying my relationships and life. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Tamara C. Okay, so we've been commenting on the first paragraph and on page 38, begins with on through the years. And though we value your experience, strength, and hope, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared since Monday, then please let us know if you'd like to share.
Manju O.
Manju O.
Eileen M.
Eileen M.
Alexis F.
Alexis F.
Deanna P.
Deanna P. Got room for a couple more? Okay, let's go with Manju O, Eileen M, Alexis F, and Deanna P. Please go ahead, Manju O. Manju?
Oh,
are you there?
Sorry, I'm here. Sorry, I was muted. Hi, Manju O, grateful, recovered, compulsive eater in Georgia, and really happy to be on this meeting. I haven't been on this particular meeting in a while, and it's great to read this paragraph and hear everyone, and I'm grateful for everyone who's done service. The first sentence really jumped out at me. On through the years, this conduct continues. You know, I came into OA in 1994, and at one point had a really solid abstinence of complete abstinence from my sugar ingredients. And then I stopped going to meetings. And then I went to meetings really sporadically. And so I really get this thing about how it can continue through years. You know, it's like I, without going to meetings, the mental obsession with food, and without doing service, the mental obsession with food, especially with my trigger foods, just grew and grew. And I love how it says, accompanied by his continual promises to be careful or to keep off the streets altogether. I certainly had my promises to myself to be careful, like, okay, I'll eat this food, like dates, for example, but I'll measure them and I'll weigh and measure them, so it'll be okay. And I'd weigh and measure the first serving, and then I'd have weigh and measure the second serving, and then I'd weigh and measure the third serving. You know, it's like, so that was like my promise to be careful or to keep off the streets altogether. Okay, well, I won't have it at all. But, you know, that could only last so long without working the steps and without doing service and without hearing from my fellows how they're working this program. So I really, like others have said, like I know when I first started this program, I would read this example of jaywalking, I thought it was completely absurd and could not identify myself in it at all. And now, after having been abstinent again since April with complete abstinence, I for sure see myself in the jaywalker and see my compulsive eating in the jaywalker. And with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Manju O. Eileen M., you are up next, followed by Alexis F.
Good morning, Elaine. Eileen M. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire, and I'm just, you know, I love this meeting so much because there's so much validation. I just hear myself in everybody's shares, and you know, the shares that I'm hearing is just, you know, proof of why I could not recover alone. I couldn't do this by myself. I'm looking at, you know, the paragraph where it says, you know, this behavior continues accompanied by continual promises. You know, it was promising myself over and over that I was never going to do that again. And, you know, it would be like, you know, 8 a.m. in the morning, I'd be saying, I'm never going to overeat again. And then by 1 o'clock, I'd be overeating. And, you know, I'd be like, well, what happened? You know, I could never figure out, like, why I just couldn't stop just by, you know, setting my intention of wanting to do something and not being able to do it or follow through. And I remember, like, there's this pamphlet that the World Service put out a number of years ago, and it's entitled Think Through the Bite. And now, you know, that's fine if you're, I don't know, if you're recovered, maybe that works, but you know, I know it works if you're recovered, but if you're in an unsurrendered state and you haven't done this work, you know, something like that does not work for me, or I'll speak for myself. It did not work for me because, you know, I lost my power of choice and I could not think through it. And, you know, I could never remember the suffering of the previous compulsive overeating episode. You know, whenever I was about to take that first bite, I couldn't remember how bad I felt the previous time, you know, so that just did not make sense to me. And I didn't understand how it seemed like other people were benefiting from that pamphlet, like they could understand, like it was working for them, but it wasn't working for me. So, you know, I had to, you know, surrender and do this work, and I had to do it 100%. You know, it couldn't just be half measures. It had to be 100% in. And, you know, fortunately, I was desperate enough to do that because there was no other way out. You know, I was out of answers completely. And I'm just so grateful that I found this meeting. This meeting just completely just changed my whole life. And just very grateful to have had the compulsion lifted. So for today, thank you.
Thank you very much, Eileen M. Okay, so we have Alexis F. up next, followed by Deanna P., and then we'll take another lineup.
Yes, this is Alexis F. from New Jersey. I think Jay Walker is the Russian roulette of addiction. His story is the progressive nature of the disease for me. He starts out by going in front of a car and breaking two arms, coming out of an asylum and going in front of a fast-moving fire engine and breaking his back. That's how my disease started. I was 33 pounds overweight. I was dabbling in sugar and flour. And I went up to 300 pounds and couldn't stop the compulsion. I think I eat because there's I'm powerless over food, number one. Number two, because there's a strange obsession of my mind, a mental twist, and an addiction of the body, an allergy of the body, that once I put it in, I can't stop eating it. And it's the first time that I've shared in Vision. I love Vision. I've been listening to it for a few months now, but haven't had the courage to say anything. I've been in an asylum, and the day I got out, I went straight to a diner and overate, not learning my lesson. So thank you for letting me share, and I'll hopefully share again. Thank you.
I hope so too, Alexis asked. Thank you very much. Glad you are here. Okay, so next we have Deanna P., and then we'll take more people who want to comment on page 38, paragraph 1. Please go ahead, Deanna P.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, you sound great.
Okay, good morning, everyone. My name is Deanna P. I'm from Wilmington, Delaware, newly recovered. By God's grace and through a Vision sponsor who I thank God for. I think the first time I read this paragraph, like a number of have shared, it was quite comical to me. And I'm really aging myself here. When I was a little girl, I used to watch Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner and Sylvester and Tweety Bird. And Sylvester was always trying to get at Tweety, and Wiley was always trying to get at Roadrunner. And inevitably, they would get, you know, smashed and crashed and bumped and bruised, and they would just keep coming back and keep coming back. And so when I imagine this man walking out into the middle of the street, getting hit again and again and again, of course, he's not going to die. He's just going to keep coming back and trying, like Roadrunner and Wiley. But it's the saddest the comedy, right? You know, because that was me. I was Wiley, and I was you know, crazy. I was crazy, and I did it again and again and again. And it's that I think that this story is probably the best story to highlight the queer mental twist and the fact that we have a large forgetter in our brain. This Jay Walker certainly has amnesia of the highest order, and so did I. And I'm grateful that my God broke through the madness and brought me a spiritual transformation through the steps, powerful enough to arrest the Jay Walker in me and to not send me back to my asylum, but to free me altogether. I don't have to run into the street anymore. I can actually stay on my side of the street and be peaceful and calm and, you know, not do the crazy things anymore and know what my lane is. And along the way, hopefully help some other Jay Walkers out there who are really still struggling, which is the goal in step 12. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much, everyone. God bless your day.
Thank you very much. I love that analogy. All right. So though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might have a chance to share their experience as well. We have time for 3 shares. And who would like to comment on what we read?
Catherine W.
Ooh,
Beverly R.
Marty J.
I heard Catherine W. and Beverly R.
Michelle F.
Okay, hang on a second. And I think I heard Michelle F. Okay. I'm sorry we can't get you all. What a wonderful, enthusiastic group of people who want to share. Really appreciate it. So I have Catherine W., Beverly, I didn't get your last initial, and Michelle F. And please go ahead, Catherine.
Beverly R.
Beverly R., thank you. Please go ahead, Catherine.
Hello, this is Kathleen W., and I'm from Illinois.
Kathleen. Oh, yay. Kathleen. Go ahead.
And I'm just going to claim my seat today because I haven't spoken in a while, and I have missed some meetings this week, so I desperately needed to get to this one, and I'm so glad I did. You know, when I first read this a few months ago, well, it was probably a couple of years ago, I worked through the steps, and when I was in OA, still in OA, with a sponsor, and I read this, we read through the story, and you know, I didn't see myself as a jaywalker. I just thought it was a funny story. In fact, I kind of laughed a lot at it while we were reading it, because I couldn't help, because I kept picturing the Monty Python, the Holy Grail stick, where the two knights were fighting on a hill, and you know, one knight kept getting his limbs cut off one by one, but he kept coming back to fight, and I just thought that was it, and I didn't really relate to it. But now I'm reading it again, and I'm listening to all of you, and I'm a newly sober compulsive overeater, and I think, you know, this is not a funny story. It's not funny because now I do see myself as the jaywalker. I just didn't see it for so long. And because I didn't have, you know, I hadn't reached the yets that many of us have reached in this program. So I am newly recovered. I'm learning that I need to work with others. I'm learning that I need to make outreach calls. I'm learning that. At first, I was a little slow going and coming out of isolation, but I'm learning that's what I have to do in order to stay sober myself. And then finding that I enjoy it. And when I do it, the things, you know, the outreach calls, working with the sponsee, and I'm finding the results of that, or the benefits of that, I reap so much from it, so much joy, so much more stability for myself. My sponsees remind me, I can see myself in them, and so I'm getting closer to who I am. And you know, at times, the street still calls me. You know, sometimes the street calls me. But I've come to this new experience where I'm not compelled that I have to go. And there's the miracle. It might call me from time to time, but it's like, you know, it's in the back of my mind, and I don't answer the call to the street. And that's where the miracle is for me. It's amazing. So I'll just keep coming back, and I pass.
Thank you very much. Kathleen W., welcome back. And Beverly R., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Michelle F.
Hello, is it my turn, Beverly R.?
Yes, thank you, Beverly.
Hi, I just wanted to say briefly that I think I'm still in the jaywalking side stage, because I have been abstinent for a while, and I started getting cocky and saying, and I was feeling really good in my body, and I said, I'm recovered, I can eat this because I'm recovered, I can eat that because I'm recovered, I can eat the other because I'm recovered, and then it was a very slippery slope, and the mental twist and the amnesia, I can relate to all of that, and the bedevilment as well, and with that I pass. It's Beverly R. from Gaithersburg, Maryland. Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, Beverly R. And Michelle F., you are up next.
Thank you, moderator, for your service. It's Jody, ha ha, it's Michelle F., as in Foxtrot, from Central Massachusetts, just trying to see what this paragraph means to me. Continual promises to be careful brings to mind, I'll buy a small container of it. I won't have it in the house. I'll not eat it out of the container. I won't eat it by myself. Now, those were ways to be careful. Or my husband's going to weigh and measure it for me. Or to keep off the streets altogether. I'm not going to go to the movies because that way I won't want to eat. Or I won't want to eat what's served at the movies. I will stay out of the bakery aisle. I will not go to the grocery store. I've been very, very isolated in my attempts to keep off the streets altogether. And I tried every means known to me to get the eating idea out of my head, including keeping really, really busy, which served to make me really, really irritable, really, really tired, really, really discontent, and I thought about it while I was being really, really busy, including making my husband my higher power. Does this look like 4 ounces of, you know, can you measure me this? Do you think it's safe for me to eat that? I can remember going out to get what I wanted to eat after my pay and weigh meeting. It was insane. I know I can't do this by myself, and my higher power has to be something greater than a human being because I'm absolutely powerless over the idea of controlling it and eating whatever I want. And I'm absolutely powerless over those ingredients and foods that get my craving started. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We do have time for one more share. If you haven't shared since Monday, press star 1 to unmute. Anybody like to take that last share?
Can I take that
last share? I heard Laureen D. and
yes.
Sorry, do whoever else came on with her. So Laureen D., please go ahead.
Hi, my name is Laureen D. from Washington State, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. So grateful for this strong meeting. Really changed my life. I'm like the jaywalker. You know, when I was young, I could binge, and I didn't gain weight because I was outside playing. Or in my teens, I could binge and go a while. And I was like, I want to lose a few pounds before the weekend. And I could do it. And I got away with it. And as I got older, it was harder and harder to recover from my binges. And so I had to exercise more to offset the calories that I took in. But as I was binging and trying to control my weight with exercise, trying to control my metabolism, my metabolism was getting whacked out and my cholesterol was going up and my blood sugars were going up. And even though on the outside it looked like I was managing my weight, I wasn't. I wasn't managing my health, but I told myself I was. And so it's such a deceitful disease and it's a trickster. And I fell for the trick and I believed the lies. And I hit my bottom and a year ago this week, I hit my bottom and I got a sponsor from Vision and it changed my life going through this book with a guide. And it's been a year since I've eaten my top favorite binge food. The joy of my life. It's been a year. I never thought that would happen. And at first, my last binge was so dramatic, and I was so disturbed and in such a pit of misery, I didn't want to binge and eat that food again, but I had a hard time grasping the concept of going the rest of my life without eating it. And today I can say, I am never going to. I have no desire whatsoever. And so just surrendering to to God and giving over to my higher power and finding my higher power with the help of my sponsor and developing a relationship has just been such a godsend for me, and I'm so grateful. And if you were new to a program and struggling, these steps with a sponsor will help you, and I'm so grateful. So thank you so much, and have a good day. And I pass.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you, everybody that has shared. We're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Eileen M. please read a vision for you?
Hi, it's Eileen M., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us who trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.